This week on Potlatch, we visit Mr. and Mrs. Hardy Peters of Tanana and their daughter Kathleen, who was crowned the Queen of Nuchulawaya. Blanket toss, high kick, greaseball walk, muktuk eating contest, and crowning of the queen will be among events highlighting the 15th annual World Eskimo Indian Olympics. The games will be held at the University of Alaska's Paddy Gym in Fairbanks on Thursday, July 31st, Friday and Saturday, August 1st and 2nd, and they start at 7 o'clock in the evening. There'll be food, soft drinks, crafts, and souvenirs during the games. The games annually draw enthusiastic crowds from around the state. Nightly admission will be $4 for adults and $2 for children. Season tickets for admission all three nights may be purchased for $10 for adults, $4 for children. All tickets may be bought at the door. So that's going to be held at the Paddy Gym at the University of Alaska on Thursday, July 31st. Each year, people from interior Alaska villages meet in Tanana to celebrate Nuchulawaya, where the two rivers meet. Here's Hardy Peters to tell some of the history of Nuchulawaya.
The first part of Nuchulawaya started back in 1956 or 57 somewhere, and that time it was originally started by a guy named Jay Harwood, who was originally from Montana, and he was a supervisor here at the hospital at that time. And one year, that time there was Steve Matthews and me and several other people was talking about the old history behind Tanana and Nuchulawaya celebration that they used to have a long time ago during our great-grandfather's time. And back in those days, that the main village was up at Old Mission right now, and where there's just nobody there anymore but several old buildings. And the reason for the celebration was that I think probably has to do with some of the fur trades and that was going on at that time, probably during the late 1800s, 1900s somewhere, and people from up and down the river, up the Tano River, down Lower Yukon, up Fort Yukon area, just come here in canoes and boats, and there was, back in those days, there was no kind of motor, no outboard motor, inboard motor. I think there was some steamboats running at that time, but old people didn't have any money to pay for a fare or probably work their way up here, but I understand it took some of those people almost several months to get here, but they had to get an early start to get here in order to participate in the celebration. And I guess at the old mission, they used to have potlatches, you know, that lasted for about a week, 10 days, maybe 2 weeks, depends on the supply of meat and everything else that they had. So at this time, and this is how everybody used to meet here, you know, they'd renew old friends once a year, and then they wait another year or so before all of this, because it took so much time to get the meat and all the other stuff. Usually the gifts, the native crafts, such as moose hides, furs, and different things that had to be made or prepared for the New July celebration back in those days. So all this, well, happened way back there, and some of the people and most of us here just kind of forgot about it for a long time because there was no one to organize it. And back that time in 57, people were, I'm talking about Mr. J. Harwood and list of people on here, myself, and we started talking about organizing this whole, renewing this whole celebration and trying to, copy some of these old Indian dancing they had back in those days, a lot of, different native sports like arm wrestling, foot racing, high jumps, and all this kind of stuff that our old original people used to do. So one year we sat down and figured up what we were going to do, how much money we were going to raise for it. And I think I remember the original, we raised about $650-some, maybe $700 that time. And we had pretty good prizes for the first year because that was just kind of like a trial run for most of us. And that year we had some talent shows at Turkey Shoots. And we started sometime in the early part of April. I remember the snow was still on the ground, and the first turkey shoot we had was on one weekend, was on Sunday, and it was still snowing, but a lot of us went up there and participated in it, and finally, as the days got warmer, as more and more people came out, and eventually we had enough money to start the celebration with them. And I remember, even though we had about maybe a couple of months or month and a half to prepare for it, we did a lot of writing letters to other people in villages, and got people from Stevens Village and Minto and Rampart all interested in it. So they all came down here with dance groups, and it really turned out good. And well, from there on, every year somebody else, take over, and pretty soon it got to be a pretty big thing. And I think the last several years or so, Glenn Butler has been running it. He's raised something like over $2,000 or something like that for it, because even now the prizes for all the events are up into the hundreds of dollars. And I think that if we all work together and keep it going, it'd be a good thing,
Virgil Kane is my name, and I served on the Danville train till Stoneman's cavalry came and tore up the tracks again. In the winter of 65, we were hungry, just barely alive. By May 10th, Richmond had fell, and it's a time that I remember oh so well. The night they drove old Dixie down, and all the bells were ringing. The night they drove old Dixie down, and all the people were singing. They went na 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 na
back with my wife in Tennessee. And one day she said to me, Virgil, quick, come see Virgil. There goes a Robert E. Lee. Now I don't mind chopping wood, and I don't care if the money's no good. Just take what you need and you leave the rest. But they never should have taken the very best. The night they drove old Dixie down, and all the bells were ringing. The night they drove old Dixie down, and all the people were singing. They went na 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 na. Like my father before me, I will work the land. Like my brother above me, he took a rebel stand. He was just 18, proud and brave, and a Yankee laid him in his grave. I swear by the mud below my feet, you can't raise a king back up when he's in defeat. The night they drove old Dixie down, and all the bells were ringing. The night they drove old Dixie down, and all the people were singing. They went na 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 na.
That was Johnny Cash and The Night They Drove Old Dixie Down. Now for more on the Nuchulawaya Festival. This time, it's Mrs. Hardy Peters.
These past few years, we haven't been really organized for a real big potlatch. I've seen big ones, and I've seen small ones, and we haven't done... haven't had a big one since back in 1937. I remember the big one then, and I mean that lasted for a week, and that's not running short of anything either. It's having berries and beaver meat and moose meat, caribou meat, and this was hunted all during the winter, and this was stored away for the spring events. I remember walking into my father's cache before the event had started, and it was full. And that was to last for a week. And I seen a lot of food going out and a lot of work. But at that time, the people that work on the food didn't think of how much work it was. It was just how to share with each other. That was the main part of the potlatch, is how you can share with others. I often think of having a great big potlatch like that one day. They did that for somebody that they lost, and I think that last one was for my mother. And it was the biggest one I've ever seen, besides seeing others in Minto and different places like that. But we've never had a big one like that or in Uchoa that lasted a week. And another thing is, seems like I've always gotten stuck with the queens from Uchoa. I guess someday I'll learn to keep my mouth shut. I think I've taken care of almost everyone since Nuchulawaya started, except once Eileen had that. But then I used to prepare for that. But these past couple of years, I never prepare for Nuchulawaya queens. I just grab them off the street and Usually I tell them what to do and not tell them what to say, but at least give them an idea what a queen should go through and should have before they go on. But these past 2 years, we haven't been working with them at all. But if they are to go to Fairbanks, I think we ought to work with them and tell them what they should expect. A lot of times they go in without expecting too much, and then they find out that they have to know something about it. We usually have that meat and everything all cut up, and the way to make a real good caribou soup is just continue boiling, cooking the meat and a lot of it. And the more you cook the meat in that one stock, it's they make it taste better. The more meat you cook in one stock, the better it is. And that's what we usually do. We usually use 3-4 pots, and then we cook all the meat in them, make a real good stock out of them. And that's what we make our potlatch soup out of.
Helen Peters talking about some of the food that they have at the potlatch during the Nuchulawoya Festival. She also will tell us about Indian ice cream and some of the recent changes that have been going on in Nuchulawoya.
There's fish they make ice cream out of, and there's meat. They use dried meat and fat and dried meat mixed together, and different things they mix up together, and they whip it up, I guess, like a whipped cream, and that's the ice cream. And they use a lot of things. They use fish eggs, king salmon eggs, and sometimes regular white fish eggs. They make ice cream out of a lot of things. And they have berries, cranberries. I don't think anybody had very many cranberries this spring. That's how we didn't have any for Nuchulawoya. They usually, if they prepare, they usually have these things. But if they don't, we just don't have them. Seems like the kids like to see this and like to have it, but they don't seem to be wanting to have anything to do with the far as the work is concerned. They don't want anything to do with that. I don't know. But although I keep telling them we're not going to continue being around, they're going to have to do these things one day. And I don't know how to get them interested in doing some of the things that has to be done. They sure like to have a good time, but they don't like to do the work. Some of the songs the kids are learning, they do pretty good on, you know, a lot of them. That's just the real old songs that they never sing. They sing all the songs that's been made since Nuchulawoya started, you know, like Nuchulawoya song and Denali and songs like that. They know them. One thing I notice about our native children is they can't come in front of people and perform. I don't know what I mean. Seems like they do all those things in public, and yet they can't. Like if they were to get up to say something, they wouldn't be able to. They have a committee that decides on what kind of races they're going to have and what they're going to do all during Nuchulawoya. And yet again, that isn't very, it's like everything else. Seems like nobody is interested unless it's always the same people, you know, line up with taking care of things like that. Seems like it was past 2 years when we first began. I think that was the best I've ever seen it organized, because each person had one, you know, one thing to take care of, and that was what they took care of for the past 3 days. And I never seen it done like that again.
And don't forget the World Eskimo Indian Olympics, which is going to be going on the last day of July and the first 2 days of August, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7 p.m. at the Paddy Gym here in Fairbanks. Helen Peters recalls the villages that participate in Nuchilawoya.
Minto, Nenana, Fort Yukon, Ruby. This year we even had Glena and Kaikuk. Stevens Village is always here. Stevens Village always is so faithful when they come down so far to come, and yet they come. We're really talking about having Nuchilawoya every other year. Maybe then it'll really come up, and hoping that it would be something that it would be recognized, you know, all over. As far as people getting together, I think this year was really good, you know, for a lot of people getting together. I think it was really good in the old days. And boy, they never gave up. They never gave up dancing. They just danced all night. That's playing too, you know, playing games and everything during the night, the hall. Square dances all night. I think they drank a little bit that those days, but I never seen anybody, you know, really drunk. Maybe I was too young to realize, but that seems like I never seen anybody. I know they drank because I've seen it, and yet everybody seems like every person was active in the celebration itself. Each one had something to do, and boy, they just really went out and did it. I used to see the Russian dance. I never see anymore. That time, I guess there was a lot of Russian people came through here or around here a lot. And even the Indian people used to dance it. That's something that's lost, you know, is how well they can play and dance. We ourselves can't do that kind of play.
I asked Helen to tell me a little bit about her family, and she talks about her husband Hardy Peters and her daughter Kathleen.
Hardy is from Ruby. Hardy was born and raised in Ruby or Cochrane's or someplace. But I think he came up here back in early 50s. I was married before I married Hardy. But our fathers, his father and my father, were one of the greatest dancers in all that's been known, you know. My father's name is Lige Joseph, one of the greatest dancers that's ever been known. And he really made a lot of potlatches, and he's quite a dancer. And so is Hardy's real father. Hardy's real father's name was Dave Carney. I think he was adopted out, that's why his name is Peters. But his father was also a real well-known dancer. We both come from great dancers. Edgar Joseph, remember the old man that they sent? I don't know if you've seen him or not, but they sent him to Anchorage. He's my uncle. He's one of the great dancers that's fading away. I think a lot of people will remember him right here because he danced until he's so old that he can't dance anymore. I have brothers that dance, but they seem to not show up every Nuchilawoya. Getting worse. We have 9 children, 7 of our own and 2 adopted children. Hardy has always worked at the hospital and different places. At the hospital mostly. He took training for FAA, and then after the training was over, they couldn't hire, you know, so he had to go back to the hospital and work. And I'm a cook by trade, and I work for the school. I'm a cook at the school. My oldest daughter is a queen of the New Chilliwaya queen, that she went in Fairbanks, and she was the queen of Eskimo and Indian Olympics. Helen. And I told her she could continue for Miss America if she didn't get married.
Silently the morning mist is lying on the water. Captive moonlight waiting for the dawn. Softly like a baby's breath, a breeze begins to whisper. The sun is coming, quick, you must be gone. Smiling like a superstar, the morning comes in singing the promise of another sunny day. And all the flowers open up together in the sunshine. I do believe that summer's here to stay. And oh, I love the life within me. I feel a part of everything I see. And oh, I love the life around me. A part of everything is here in me. Writing on the tapestry of all there is to see. So many ways and oh, so many things. Rejoicing in the differences, there's no one just like me. Yet as different as we are, we're still the same.
John Denver is singing about summer. He was just recently up at Prudhoe Bay singing and playing for the pipeline workers up there. Thanks for listening to Potlatch today. This is Moses Wasley.
Potlatch is produced in the studio of KUAC in College under Title I of the Higher Education Act.